In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our side.
When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." When we hear our Lord's words about what is impossible for men, we readily agree. We confirm what's impossible every day. Our Orthodox Christian faith, our right-believing faith, seems impossible to keep, impossible to live out to its fullness. Living the gospel commandments seems hardly possible for us mere mortals. And if we would be perfect, as Christ says to the rich young man, if we would be perfect indeed. Sadly, we Orthodox today are mostly the can't-do people. We can't do this, we can't do that, and we can't keep that. We can't keep that part of our faith and this part. The question for us today is, what can we do? What can we do? The rich young man standing before the face of God incarnate, standing before our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, says to him, "What must I do that I may have eternal life?" Specifically, he says, "What good thing shall I do?" And he talks a good game about the commandments he keeps. But there was one thing he was not willing to do. He had his limits. Like the song says, "I would do anything for love, but I won't do that." Another question for us then is, what are we holding back? What are we holding back from God? What are we holding back in our faith? Have we drawn lines? Have we set limits? Have we said, at least in our heart, anything but that? "I won't go that far. It's impossible." Have I decided that I just have to be angry at this or that or someone? That I can't not be angry, that I can't not be lustful, that I can't not be greedy with my money. I just can't give a tithe. I just can't keep the fasts. Again, let us ask ourselves, but what can I do? Try to do that. But we start by repenting of our weakness. And that's very different from making excuses. From the time of our forefather Adam, we're all good with our excuses. We don't like to admit weakness, but it's better to admit our weakness rather than justify it. It's better to confess our weakness than to accuse the church and God of being unreasonable. Brothers and sisters, in all things, it's good to keep in mind that God's all-knowing, omniscient, and that God knows who we are, inside and out, upside and down. He knows you, and He knows me. We are not going to fake Him out or talk Him into something like the rich young man tried to do. To talk, bargain his way into eternal life. Our Orthodox faith knows well our human weakness, and it accounts for it. And so it teaches constant repentance. Not a one-time shot and then it's off to heaven. Rather, we are invited to confess our weakness and repent continually. To confess all our can't-dos. as we labor to see what we can do. And we're told today that with God, we can do something. With God. And without God, it is impossible to be saved. Christ said elsewhere, "Without me, you can do nothing." The rich young man wasn't asking for help from Christ. He was going to do it all himself. So the Lord was obliged to bring him down to reality. But he explained to the disciples that with God, all things are possible. With God. What does St. Paul say in this morning's epistle? He says, "I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Admitting our weakness and our need for God's grace and for God's help is what it means to be poor in spirit. An Orthodox writer, Jim Forrest, wrote, "What does poverty of spirit mean? It is my awareness that I cannot save myself. I cannot save myself, that I'm basically defenseless, that neither money nor power will spare me from suffering and death, and that no matter what I achieve and acquire in this life, it will be far less than what I wanted. Poverty of spirit is my awareness that I need God's help. But I need God's help and mercy more than I need anything else." Our Holy Father Simeon, the new theologian, calls us to daily repentance as the way which leads us to the grace of God in the Holy Spirit and to the washing away of our sins and weaknesses. He says, "Through repentance, the filth of our foul actions is washed away." Through repentance. After this, we participate in the Holy Spirit, not automatically, but according to the faith, humility, and inner disposition of the repentance in which our soul is engaged. For this reason, it is good to repent each day, as the act of repentance is unending. Unending repentance. And the more sincere, the more in-depth that repentance, the more it attracts the Holy Spirit. The rich young man went away sad, but that was not repentance. He went away sad and empty and devoid of the Spirit. He had decided for himself what he could do and what he could not do with no thought of seeking Christ's help. So he went away sad and depressed, frustrated with his faith because he trusted in himself alone. We too will find ourselves sad and depressed if we believe we can depend on our own strength and our own powers alone. Trusting in ourselves alone is the sure way to make life impossible and indeed to make our salvation impossible. Today's gospel demonstrates that. So finally, brothers and sisters, our rule, our motto, our battle cry must be, with God, all things are possible. Even my change of heart, my doing what I can do, and my repentance and correction when I can't, and the gift of eternal life made possible only by our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. To him be due all glory, honor, and worship, together with his Father, and his all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.